Welcome to the ministry of Gene Fraser. We trust that the word you're about to hear will have a transforming effect on your life. Now, here's Gene with today's message.
We're going to talk about running our race. And we're not running away from Jesus anymore. Amen. We are running to Jesus forevermore. And that's what we're going to talk about. I heard the Holy Spirit say, don't allow yourself to be caught in the rat race, but rather be found running in His grace. And who knows, in this world that we live in, it is a rat race. Some of you might feel like you were very much a part of that rat race today. And you know, it's a fight to not be a part of that rat race, because it's the flow of the world. It's just the flow of the world. Everything's fast, right? Fast food, fast banking, just fast, everything. It's just fast. And it's just, you can really get caught up in the rat race. There is too much of God things for us to do to get caught up in this rat race of all the other things that the world would call us into. Now, I'm not saying we have a job, and you know, whatever your job is, you know, we have things that we do, but who knows, you can be doing it but not be caught up in it. Who knows, when you get caught up in something, it affects you, whether for the good or for the bad. But when you get caught up in it, you get very much affected by it. So that's why the Holy Spirit was saying, don't get caught up in the rat race, but rather be found running in His grace. Hallelujah. His grace is His empowerment to live this life we have been called to live. The grace is the empowerment to do it. Hallelujah. And I'm so glad I don't have to run without grace. That would be bad. You know, we would be falling, you know, right flat on our face without the grace of God. But we don't have to be falling. No, be running in the grace. And so I want us to read here, Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to read verse 1 and 2. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus ran His race. What do you mean He ran His race? There was a call of God on Jesus's life. Jesus came. Jesus was God who came to earth in the flesh. And He had a call. There was a reason why He came down here, right? That would be, there was a call on His life. There was something for Him to do. There were people for Him to reach. There was an impact for Him to make. And so for us too. It wasn't just about Jesus. Now it's about us. He did that, so now we can do it too. He's requiring the same from us too. God our Father is. But I love that. It just shows right there. He went through all that, and then He sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Just say, it's done. His job is complete. That lay aside. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside. That word lay aside in the Greek means to put away. To put away. As we grow up, there's things we are to put down. Anybody growing up out there? All right, now we don't have to be upset to be a baby Christian. You know, some might be a baby Christian here. There's nothing, you know, we're not looking at a baby and thinking like, you know, you should be ashamed you're a baby. Of course not. A baby hasn't been here much. Hasn't been here long. A baby's a baby. But that baby, you expect that baby to grow, don't you? But when it's a baby, you're not expecting much from it. You know it's a baby. Well, even God with us, when we were first born again, when we were a baby, God wasn't expecting much from us. And so if there's a baby in the room, you know, God's not expecting as much from you as He is from someone else that might be older than you. Amen. And we can look at that naturally too. So I'll say that again. As we grow up spiritually, there's things that we ought to be putting down naturally. You got to lay it aside so you can run. There's some things that we need to lay aside so that we can run. And think about it. When you're running, anybody run lately? I won't ask for a show of hands. The less weight that is on you, right, the easier it's going to be to run. But if you're carrying, you know, who knows? I mean, having those 5-pound dumbbells, 10-pound dumbbells, 15, you know, whatever it is, those are great, right? But not when you're running. Those do other things. Those build muscles. Amen. Those work out our muscles. But you don't want to be holding those babies when you're running. It's going to be much harder. So sometimes you need to lay things down. Another definition in the Greek is to get rid of. It's not just talking about, laying it down just close enough, just not too far away in case I want to pick it up again. Get rid of. To get rid of. Everybody say to get rid of. Do you remember when you were younger and you got rid of your toys? Right? There were just some things. Maybe did it go in stages, you know, as you grew? There was that day. I know, like for me, that day, put away those Barbies. And I know, Pastor, you know, that day, the Guns of Navarone, those little figurine peoples, right? Whatever that was he played with. There's a day you got to put it away. There's a day you got to get rid of it in order to keep growing. And so would it not be so ridiculous to see like a 20-year-old playing Barbies? Right? Or, you know, it's kind of funny. So like a 20-year-old, that's kind of concerning. 30, it's really concerning. But then probably when you get a little old, like 40, well, then that's understandable because then you're playing with the kids, right? So it's like you're young, you're doing it, or you're older, you can be doing it. But in between, don't be doing that stuff. It's time to get rid of it. When you get kids, grandkids coming around, then you can pull it out again. But until then, you get rid of it. So listen to this. Another definition concerning to lay aside in the Greek. Here's another one. You ready? To cease doing what one is accustomed to. To cease doing what one is accustomed to. It sounds like a call for change, doesn't it? To stop doing what you're used to doing. Anybody, we might be used to doing some things. When we were younger, we were used to doing some things. But then there came a time where we needed to answer to mom and or dad or grandma, grandpa, whoever it was that helped raise you. But there was a time that came where it was like, it sounds like a call for change. And sometimes things just have to change. Say, I'm not afraid of change. Actually, our spirit, us, the real us, loves change. Do you know why? I mean, the Bible says we're going from glory to glory, from strength to strength, from faith to faith. I mean, constantly changing to look more like him, to be more like him, to talk more like him, to walk more like him. Hallelujah. The Spirit of God loves change. We ought to love change too. Don't be afraid of change. Not one single one of you. We ought to welcome change into our life. It's okay. Change is okay, but to cease doing what one is accustomed to. And also that word, it denoted that it was a ceasing from doing something to start doing something else instead. So it's not just stop this, you know, cease doing that. Well, then what? It's to stop doing that in order to do something else. So that's what that word lay aside. I wanted to bring that out. To lay aside every weight and sin. Why? Because we read later, so we can run. We're finding out laying aside these things are very important for us to be able to run correctly. So it's not just a stopping of something, but it's a starting of something else at the same time. So we're going to stop. We're going to cease. We're going to cease doing what we might be accustomed to do that we know is not pleasing to the Lord. By his grace, we're going to run this race. And his grace is his empowerment to do what has asked us to do. But really, you know, the word of God, he's telling us what to do. And yes, we all have a choice. God did not make robots. He didn't create robots, though. He created human beings with a choice, with a will. So we want to stop doing those things, whatever the Spirit of God would be working with us on. And understand, you know, everyone is at a different place in their walk with God. What God expects of you is not what he necessarily is expecting from the person next to you. It's true. Of course, there are certain things that the Bible is very clear about things you ought not do. That goes for everybody. But then, you know, the more we grow and we get a revelation and an understanding of these things, then the more we're required to walk in these things. That revelation brings the requirement for you to do it. But that's okay. We don't want to stay a baby, do we? We want to grow up. Because who knows, when you grow up, you can do even better and greater things. You just can. So everybody say, change. I'm not afraid of it. Amen. We can do this. We have done it. We've done a lot of it. But don't stop. There's still things to change. There's still things to grow up in and grow out of and get rid of and put aside constantly. Look at that word weight. So we're to lay aside every weight. I want to just bring up here. That word weight is in the Greek. It's that which serves to hinder or prevent someone from doing something. Weights are very, very dangerous to our race because you can't run correctly when you're weighted down. You just can't, right? Even in a natural race. That which serves to hinder or prevent someone from doing something. We can say in this instance, from being a doer, from being a runner. Hallelujah. We got any doers of the word of God in here? Yeah. We're not going to turn there. You don't have to put it up on the screen or anything, but I just want to make mention. Luke 21, verse 34. Over there, it talks about there and warns us. It's a warning. Luke 21, 34 is a warning. Our hearts about being weighed down with the cares of this life. Now, who knows? There are most definitely cares of this life. In everybody's life, there is an abundance of cares that could try to overcome you in your life. It's up to us in our own each personal life to decide, no, I'm going to take heed to that warning. And my heart will not be weighed down with the cares of this life. It's a decision. It's a decision. It's an everyday decision, isn't it, guys? It's an everyday decision to not allow yourself to be weighed down with the cares of life. You can't run when you're weighted down with cares. Or you can't run very good anyway, can you? And you sure can't run fast. You're very hindered in your race if you're burdened down with cares. In the Amplified of that, listen to this. It says, the cares of life as this. The worldly worries and cares pertaining to the busyness of life. Come on. I know life is busy. I live too. Life can be very busy. But you understand, and you need to understand, that there comes a time where it just ought to not be that busy in your life, where we constantly find you in a rat race, constantly busy. No time for church. No time for the extra things. No time for the kids. No time to cook dinner. Uh-oh. No time. That's not because you don't enjoy cooking dinner. It's just because there's no, yeah. But life absolutely can be busy. But you have to stay in control of your life, of how busy you let it get. You be the watchman over your life, and you don't let it get too busy, or you can't serve God. You're too busy, and you are not going to finish your race. Don't be too busy with the world and the things in and of the world that you don't obey the word. We cannot be too busy with the world and not be able to obey the word. oh, I can't go to church, you know, I'm working. I got to work overtime, or I got to do this or that. There's never any condemnation around here. But I'm telling you, you're missing half your life. You're missing half of what you're supposed to be able to receive. And I'm just telling you the truth. Wednesday nights is part of our teaching, is part of our equipment to run this race. We all need a pastor. We all need a church body, a fellowship to come and be a part of, to serve in, to grow in, to be a part of. And we can't be too busy for that because priorities are way out of whack. And then people sit there and wonder, why, God, why do I always feel like I'm under attack? Things are out of whack. But when we see that and we get an understanding of that, who are we? We're people who are willing to change. We're people who are willing to change to get it right. Am I looking at any people that are willing to change to get it right? Amen. I believe I am. So all of that, all of this busyness, the rat race, like the Holy Spirit said earlier, all of that, it's hindering and it's preventing the progress of people running the race. And this race is extremely important. Don't think it's like a little, you know, I'm not a runner, so I don't even know what to call a race. What's a little race? A sprint? 5K? That's a little race? That sounds like a big race to me. What's a big race then? Okay. All right. So the 5K compared to the marathon. I want to go for the marathon. Because at times I stop and I meditate and think about that I'm not going to be here forever. And my pastor has helped me with that tremendously. And I've shared it before. That there will absolutely be a day where I won't be here anymore. And I will leave and I will leave this body and I will go to heaven. And I will stand before Jesus. It's really going to happen. And I don't want him to look at me and be displeased. And people think, oh, God will never be displeased. Oh, yes, he will. Because if he said to one of them, he said to the servant, what do we want him to say? Well done, good and faithful servant. Right? We want him to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Well, guess what? I believe he's also saying to some, you didn't do too good. You didn't do good and you were an unfaithful son. Now, unfaithful sons can make it to heaven, but they're not going to be given much to be in charge over heaven. It's important to me, and it's getting more and more important to me every time I think about it. And I really want that to be imparted to you all even more. The importance of, because if you're sitting here tonight and you know you're feeling like you're caught up in the rat race, you have got to turn the other way and get in God's race. We got to be in God's race. No more of the rat race. No more 5K. We're going for the marathon. And then that word sin, I want to bring that up. So we're to lay aside every weight and the sin. Sin clings to and entangles you. I mean, we can all say amen to that, can't we? It clings to you and it entangles you. In the Amplified, it says it entangles your feet. So you can't run. I will not allow my feet to be entangled by the affairs and matters of this life. I'm going to run the race. And I'm going to give it all I've got by the grace of God. Let's go to James chapter 4. You can hold your place in Hebrews. We're going to be coming back. James chapter 4. Concerning this word sin, I just want to show you this scripture. Maybe you didn't know it was there. You know, what is sin? Simply right here. Verse 17. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. Not to everyone. To him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. So again, there's certain things that might be sin for me that wouldn't necessarily be sin for you. But nonetheless, there's some things that you know that you ought to do. And if you're not doing it, It's sin. And I believe, I know this is just like so basic tonight, guys, but it is so extremely important tonight, guys. I mean, this is what we're here for. Not here in church tonight, here on this earth. To live right, to run this race, to do what he's called us to do, to fulfill the call of God on each of our lives. I mean, this is what we're here for. We're not here to just enter into a rat race. We're here to be running by God's grace, reaching people. There really is purpose for us being here. And so I believe the Spirit of God is just that I have sensed a calling out to you to get your attention concerning these things. In the New Living Translation of that, James 4:17, it reads, "Remember, it is sin to know what you ought to do and then not do it." Oh, well, I know I ought to read my Bible. You doing it? It's called sin. Well, I know I ought to do this or that, or I know I ought to. Are you doing it? No, it's called sin. You doing it? Great. Hallelujah. And again, we don't, like, even so I bring up the Bible and, you know, some of you really looked at me like, oh man, you know. But again, even there, may I impart to you tonight a love for reading God's word. It's not to put your time in. God's not looking for us to put our time in with him. God is looking for us to dive into him. Dive into him. Feed on that word. Feed on that love. Feed on his presence. We get to. We don't have to. We get to. So that's what you got to tell your flesh, because who knows, the flesh bucks against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. We've kind of been learning that the last few weeks, haven't we, around here? So you say, no, flesh, I'm not going to sin. You're not going to cause me to sin, flesh. I'm going to do what's in my heart. And if we're every born-again believer that is in this place tonight, you have a hunger for God. You want God's word. You are hungry for God's word. So don't think, no, I'm not. No, that's your flesh. You're just being very carnal. But if you are born again, you hunger for God's words. You hunger for his presence. You hunger for his love. You hunger for his touch. So that's just the flesh that tries to keep you away. In the Amplified, James 4:17. So any person who knows what is right to do but does not do it, to him it is sin. And I'm going to give you one more definition because this really went off in me. The contemporary English version of James 4:17. So we must get rid of everything that slows us down, especially the sin that just won't let go. Who knows? Sin won't let go of you. You've got to let go of it. You've got to refuse it. You've got to cast it aside. You've got to let it go. We have to let go. We decide. We choose. And we must be determined to run the race that is ahead of us. And that's what this is about. I know by the Spirit of God, there is just a determination to run available to just explode on the inside of you tonight. A fight, a resolve. Every problem in your life, it'll solve. You get that resolve to fight and to do what's right. Living for God takes care of everything. Now, it doesn't mean nothing will happen. We were promised trials, tests, and tribulations. But when we're living for God, we're living by faith. And we know how to overcome everything that would try to come against us, to steal from us. I'm going to say that again. And we must be determined to run the race that is ahead of us. Are you understanding how important running this race is, to be determined to do it? It's not just going to come easy. Who knows, when someone decides they're going to go run in a race, it don't come easy for them. There's things that they have to do, much preparation, right? And we won't get into all that right now tonight. I don't think we'll get to that. But, you know, runners are very strict in their lifestyle, in their diet. But at least tonight, I'm, by the Spirit of God, wanting us to get at least that fight, that resolve, that determination of, I've got to run now. No more jogging for Jesus. Too much of the church is jogging for Jesus. We want to be a runner for the Master. I want to be a runner for the Master. It's going to take determination to get to our desired destination. And where, what was that destination? The end of our race, finishing our course, fulfilling what God has put us upon this earth to do, the people to touch, the places to go, the things to come to know, the experiences to behold. But it's going to take determination to get there. It don't come easy. It don't, and I know that's bad English, but it don't. It don't come easy. So we need to be determined. I will say, wait a minute, to the flesh, according to the flesh, it don't come easy. According to the Spirit, it's definitely easier, but it is a fight. But it's so much worth it to do it. Listen to this. So determination. So we must be determined to run. We're just, that's going to get in us tonight. Determined to run. And if you were like, oh, well, Pastor Gene, I'm already running. Well, you're going to run faster. Glory to God. Determination. I looked it up in the dictionary. The act of coming to a decision or of fixing or settling a purpose. It's time to make some decisions about your life, about what's going to happen in your life. What are you going to allow now? What are you going to not allow now? Determination, the act of coming to a decision or fixing or settling a purpose. So we're getting it settled. We're getting settled in our purpose. And what is our purpose? To run this race that is set before us, just like Jesus. Some synonyms for determination: conviction. Ooh, that fits, don't it? Conviction, decision, dedication, energy. You think, well, I don't got no energy. Hey, baby, you got energy. You did something. What did you do? Where did all your energy go that you're sitting in that chair now just about ready to go to sleep, you know? Our energy's going somewhere. You have energy. Persistence. Resolve, tenacity. These are all synonyms for determination. Remember, we're getting determined to run. We're getting convicted, aren't we? Got to make some decisions, looking for some dedication, going to require some energy, going to require some persistence, going to need some resolve, going to need to see some tenacity. Amen. Determination, and even I wrote this down, determination will cause that consecration that we were talking about laying aside every weight and sin. This determination, this resolve in us of, glory to God, this is who I am and this is what I'm going to do. That's not who I am, so that's not what I'm going to do. It's just as simple as that. Who are you? Be you. Don't be the old you. Be you. Determination will cause consecration. So we need to be determined to run. How do we get determined to run? Because really, a lot of that doesn't sound like a lot of fun, does it? So how can we get determined to run? Determination comes by revelation. What is revelation? It's that rhema word. It's not just when you're reading. Don't just read the Bible. We are to feed on the, you know, you've read the Bible at times and all of a sudden, boom, all of a sudden something just comes alive to you, right? Those words just come alive. What is that? That's revelation. That's God's word coming alive to you. When God's word comes alive to you, that's going to move you. Revelation is the rhema word. It becomes alive to you and it puts you, it puts in you a determination. Or we can maybe call it maybe that spirit of faith, that fight, that glory to God, I'm going to do what's right. No more living for this world and the things of this world. Living for God. And I'm going to run this race. He's called us to run. He hasn't called us to walk. He hasn't called us to jog. He's called us to run, guys. And just because there's other people that call themselves Christians are walking doesn't mean you're supposed to be walking. Just because there's other people that are Christians that are jogging for Jesus doesn't mean that's the way it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be the way God said it's supposed to be, not by what out in the churches you see, but by the way God said it to be, and he told me I ought to be running. So what am I going to do? I'm going to run. So determination comes by revelation. So how are we going to get revelation? It comes from the word. We were saying that before, feeding on God's word in your own personal time. Come into church, getting that word that God gives to our pastor. You know, there's only some things, and people, they just don't get this, and they think, oh, well, I don't have to have a church, and I don't have to have a pastor, and that's why their lives ultimately will end up in disaster. It might look like everything's going great now. And actually, you know, sometimes it's so weird, because some people that are so out of God's will and so living contrary to the will of God and are just walking and possibly jogging, and it looks like everything's going so great, I'm sorry, but you just wait, because it can't stay great when you're not doing it God's way. We're choosing God's way. And we look to Jesus. We look to the word. We look to the revelation to bring light and understanding. So then we know what to do, and we know how to do this life. Too many people look at other Christians. Oh, well, look, they're doing it. It's okay. What? I mean, that's just so brainless. We look to the word and we find out if it's okay. And you got some people, they think, you know, but again, it's just their heart's not right. So they're looking for someone else's heart that isn't right, who calls themselves a Christian and isn't living right. Oh, well, see, they do it. Oh, okay. Go do that then. I'd stick with the word if I were you. We're sticking with the word. So determination comes by revelation. So that revelation comes when we spend time with God, when we come to church. That's what I was going to say. There's only some things that you will get in your own private time with God. He'll only speak those things to you privately in your time with him. And then there's other times where there's only things that you will get from the Spirit of God when you come to church and you hear the word of God through your pastor. Or when there's special meetings through the fivefold ministry gifts. People think, oh, I don't need church. I don't need a pastor. I'm going to have church at home. Where's the pastor? Where's your tithe going, baby? I mean, you might call it church at home, but it's not church at home. So anyway, that revelation, it's just that determination of that what he promised, I am determined to have it. What he's told me, I'm determined to do it. What he's called me to do, I'm determined to be it. Revelation of God's words to you and God's will for you will absolutely motivate you. I'm going to say that again. Revelation of God's words to you and God's will for you will absolutely motivate you. So now we just went over determination comes by revelation. Now, that revelation, like we just said here, that revelation that we receive, that rhema word, those things that come a lot, it just becomes more real to us. And who knows, you don't just get one time revelation on one scripture. There's been times in one scripture, I've read it time and time again, and you just get more revelation upon more revelation upon more revelation. It just keeps growing. Don't think one scripture, I don't need to know, I know that scripture. No, you don't. You just showed how much you don't know by thinking you know. There's so much more to know in every single scripture that you think you know. It's called revelation. And all of a sudden it just lights up to you like, whoa, I never saw that in there before. How many times have I read that scripture? Now, if that hasn't happened to you, then you need to heed what I'm saying, because you're not receiving revelation of what God's saying. When you're feeding on that word, revelation ought to be coming to you. The word needs to be coming alive. You're not just reading the word to put your time in. You're reading the word to stay alive. And that's when the revelation will flow. That revelation then becomes our motivation. You want to hear what motivation means? You ready for this? Motivation, having a strong reason to accomplish something. So we're learning here. We ought to be running this race. We need to be determined to run, right? And then we learned about being determined. We need to get to our destination. But then in order to get determined, we need revelation. And now once we get that revelation, that becomes our motivation, which is what we need to run. And motivation, having a strong reason to accomplish something. It's not going to just come so easy necessarily to be determined to run. So that's why God's bringing us through this process to help us get here. And now he's saying it's motivation. You need that revelation, you need that determination, then you need that revelation, and then you need that motivation. And motivation it's the strong reason for you to accomplish something. Realize that you have a strong reason to run your race and to finish it. You have a strong reason to do it. There'll be a day, and we want it to be a good day, don't we? We don't want it to be a day of weeping and gnashing of teeth. We want it to be a well done, good and faithful servant. Come next to me, have a seat. So realize you have a strong purpose. You have a strong reason to be here, to run your race. There's things for you to accomplish. Every time people, they think they don't really matter. They don't really matter. Oh, well, so-and-so can do it, or so-and-so can do it. Well, do you know, just like in a body, what in my physical body, if I was like, oh, well, I'm really thirsty, but you know, I'm the hand and I really don't want to pick up the glass of water. Something else, some other part of my body will do it. What other part of my body is going to pick up that glass of water and give me water? If both of my hands are in cahoots together saying, we don't feel like picking up the water. I'm too busy. I don't have time. I've got other things to do. I've got my will to accomplish. Or I've got other people's wills in my life that influence me and determine what I do. I bow to them, God, not to you. I bow to them, what they say I should do. And what they say I should not do too. I listen to them first, God. I don't listen to you. No, we bow to God. And one day every knee's going to bow. Even those knees in your life that are trying to make you bow now to them instead of God. Their knee's going to bow one day. And it's going to be really hard. So I'd get on God's side and I'd stay on there too. I don't want to offend God. He's the first one I would never want to offend. And that ought to be you too. So where were we? Yeah, my hands don't want to pick up. Well, I mean, I know that's so silly, but right? Well, how else am I going to drink water? I mean, that is totally hindering my body right now from drinking water. Well, think about it like a church. We are a body of believers. We are a family. And if one part is too busy or whatever, the hands, they're just too busy. They don't have time, or they don't feel like it, or they don't feel like that's what they are called to do. Or that's going to affect the whole body, right? My hands not doing what they ought to be doing is going to affect my whole body. Eventually, I'll become dehydrated. Right? So we can go on, but you get the picture. That was a good illustration there, wasn't it? But really, so where'd we get off on all that? Just some people feeling like, oh, well, it doesn't really matter. Yeah, I don't really matter that much what I do. Oh, yes, you do. Oh, yes, you do. So you need to find out what you're supposed to be doing. And sometimes people are just not supposed to be doing anything, just receiving. And, you know, sometimes there's a time of rehabilitation, you know, for someone who maybe has been spiritually sick, you know, a recovery. And, you know, there's times of that, but then there's other times where you ought to be doing something. And it doesn't mean that it's always something visible. There's a lot of people that I know that they pray for you guys at home. They pray. So there's lots of things we can be doing. But it is important. Whoever that might be, the one that would think like, oh, well, it doesn't really matter if I do anything. Every part of our body has a purpose. Even the pinky toe. Because think about it. If the pinky toe wasn't there, it's kind of protecting that other toe next to it. Because, you know, that pinky toe that you always hit on the bed, right? Well, think about it. It's kind of like, it's the littlest one, but it's like the protector of, like, those other three next to them. Getting silly, but anyway. Motivation. There's things for you to accomplish. It's time to get motivated. The Rhema word is alive, and it will move you. The Rhema word is alive, and it will motivate you. It'll speak to you. It'll tell you. This is what you're to do. This is what you're to be. This from your life I want to see. Some synonyms for motivation: desire, hunger. This is motivation. Desire, hunger, fire. I like that one. That'll cause you to move, won't it? Actually, fire will cause you to run. A synonym for the word motivation is fire, hunger. I want to bring out some antonyms on motivation. You ready? Depression, dullness, discouragement, hindrance. That person is not motivated. That person is not desiring and hungering and on fire for God, running. That person is not motivated. They're depressed, they're dull, they're discouraged, and a hindrance to their own life and run race with God. But revelation of his will is our motivation in this life. We need more revelation. Revelation of his will is our motivation in this life. Amen. So we need revelation of his will. Well, the first place we're going to find the will, obviously, is the word of God, the general will. And then, of course, there is the specific will of God that we find as we're reading his will and things, and God specifically speaks certain things to us, you know? But this is where his will is. And Joshua 1:8 in the New Living Translation, it says, study this book of the law continually. Meditate on it day and night so you may be sure to obey all that is written in it. Only then will you succeed. Anybody want to succeed in life? Anybody want to run this race and finish it? Finishing it is where the succeeding is at. Praise God. I believe we were helped tonight. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. God is good. And we are determined to run. Amen.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Gene Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org or call 888-542-2555. You can hear more messages by Gene Fraser by going to her media page at genefraser.org. While you're there, you'll also find more information about Gene's bi-monthly Ladies Bible Studies and a Night in the Glory Ladies Meetings, as well as her annual You Glow Girl Ladies Conference. That website again is genefraser.org. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.